Our reading this morning is from Psalm 119, page 617 in your pew Bible. Blessed are they whose ways are blameless, who walk according to the law of the Lord. Blessed are they who keep his statutes and seek him with all their heart. They do nothing wrong, they walk in his ways. You have laid down precepts that are to be fully obeyed. Oh, that my ways were steadfast in obeying your decrees. Then I would not be put to shame when I consider all your commands. I will praise you with an upright heart as I learn your righteous laws. I will obey your decrees. Do not utterly forsake me. How can a young man keep his way pure? By living according to your word. I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. I have hidden your word in my heart, that I might not sin against you. Praise be to you, O Lord. Teach me your decrees. With my lips I recount all the laws that come from your mouth. I rejoice in following your statutes as one rejoices in great riches. I meditate on your precepts and consider your ways. I delight in your decrees. I will not neglect your word. Amen.
My text this morning is found in the book of Hosea, chapter 10, verse 12, which, if you want to read it for yourself, is on page 907. Hosea 10:12, which reads, "Sow for yourselves righteousness. Reap the fruit of unfailing love, and break up your unplowed ground. For it is time to seek the Lord until he comes and showers righteousness on you." I'd like to read that text again. Sow for yourselves righteousness. Reap the fruit of unfailing love. And break up your unplowed ground, for it is time to seek the Lord until he comes and showers righteousness on you. In our last hymn, we prayed that the Lord would speak to us. And I don't know about you, but I feel in my own spirit that God has been speaking to us over the last few months. Well, I'm sure he is speaking to us all the time, but I felt it very strongly over the last few months. I suppose the need that we have to have a new minister and to go forward presses that burden upon us to be before the Lord and to pray. And I felt that he has responded and he has spoken to us. And, you know, we thought of Joshua being on the verge of going into the promised land, and God's promise to Joshua, just as I was with Moses, I'm going to be with you. And you can go forward with confidence knowing that I am with you. And that's a tremendous encouragement to us, that as God has been faithful in the past and blessed us in the past, he is going to be with us in the future, and he is going to bless us in the future. We thought of briefly on the basis of us, of our community as a church in Philippians, that we believe in the gospel. It's the faith of the gospel that is the foundation, and Jesus Christ is the chief cornerstone, and that's what we build on. But then we thought of the fellowship of the gospel, that God has brought us together and joined us together in this work. And we thought of the furtherance of the gospel, that we shouldn't just rest on our laurels and be at ease in Zion, as the prophet said, but we should be looking to reach out and to touch other lives. And it was really, I found it really exciting when Chris Kennedy was here and at our business meeting and said that the word he brought to us was basically that in Philippians, that we are a gospel church, we are a gospel people. And then when Gary himself, when he came, what was the word that he really likes? the word that together, that's right. He said that is such a precious word, and we are together in this. And it's like as if God has been saying all these things to us, but really saying the same thing, that I am with you, take courage and go forward, and go forward together on the basis of the gospel that is the wonderful good news of Jesus. Be confident in this message. There's salvation in none other name under heaven given amongst men. This is the message and the fellowship of that gospel and the furtherance of that gospel. And then last week, and the thing is, what has encouraged me is this, that I didn't know I was doing these services. But it's just been on a week-by-week basis, really, hasn't it? But it's like as if God has been building. And last week, we thought of the need around us. There's a great need around us. We are living in serious times when awful things are taking place. Further afield, yes, but I mean, there's so much unrest amongst us, not amongst us, but in our own country as well, isn't there? And the message last week was, Lord, it's time for you to act. Psalm 119, verses 126. The psalmist looked around and he saw the need. And he said, Lord, it's time for you to act. Look at the situation around us. It's time for you to act. Come, Lord, and do something new. The story is told, well, my brother told me a story. I don't know if it's true. My brother told me once he was in a prayer meeting. Well, I don't doubt my brother. But he was in a prayer meeting, and one man prayed, Lord, I don't know if you've seen the morning papers, but the world's in a terrible mess. Like, it's time, Lord, for you to act. And this week, just for these moments, it's as if the Lord is saying back to us. We've said to him in the prayer of the psalmist, Lord, it's time for you to do something. It's time for you to stir. Make bare your arm, Lord, and do something. And it's like as if the Lord has said back to us now, and it's time for you to do something as well. It's time for you to do something. And that's what the psalmist and read lovely for us this morning. In Psalm 119, those opening 16 verses, the Lord is saying to us, listen, come back ever to the word. Hide that word in your hearts that you might not sin against me. Delight in my word. And let me speak to you through my word. And the Lord does do that. He speaks to us through his word. And this little text this morning, it just very simply says five things to us, and they are very brief. The first thing he says to us is, listen, it is time to seek the Lord. I've put it in a kind of acrostic because it sort of helps me really to stay focused, or I pray it will help me to stay focused. The first thing is, now, he speaks to us, and we have a choice. That's the first word, choice. We have a choice. Are we going to go forward with this expectancy? Or are we quite happy in some ways to just maintain things and to mark time, as it were, and give time? The Lord wants us to step out. Now, the choice is ours. Are we going to say, yes, Lord, I believe you are going to do something exciting, and I want to be ready. I'm putting my hand to this. We have a choice. The psalmist, the prophet, again, living in very troubled times, and his own situation was very troubled as well. He said, listen, it's time to seek the Lord. Now, it's up to you. But it's time to seek the Lord. It's time to mean business now. Situation around us is dire. It is time now to seek the Lord. The choice is ours. The second word is learn, or perhaps listen. Say, Lord, I want you to open my ears and let me hear your voice. Let me listen. I seek you and I want to hear you. I want to listen to what you are saying. Now, I'm very conscious that I'm saying things that are not new to us. But I think we need to hear them again. When we first came to Ireland in 1980, we used to have a preacher. He was from Greystones. I don't think I've ever mentioned his name before. Donald O. You remember Donald O? Anybody remember Donald O? Yeah. He used to come and speak at our church. And his opening line was often this: Donald O, Donald O, tell us what you've heard, what we've heard before. Donald O, tell us what we've heard before. And we've heard these things before. But it's like as if God wants to imprint them upon our minds again. Listen, seek me and listen to my voice and be obedient. The third letter is this. It's E. E stands for early. And the wonderful thing about our God, he is so precious, he is so gracious. When we start to make that move, he comes to us. Early, when we make that move and say, Lord, I seek you. I want to know what you are saying. I want to listen to you. And I want to act upon what you say to us. Do you know what he does? He comes to us with a freshness. He comes to us early. The prophet speaks of the early rains. That time when it's been dry and nothing is happening really. But then the early rains come, and there's life, and there's freshness. Do you know what it's like when we've had a dry spell? Can you imagine a dry spell? Sure we can. If we try hard enough, we can imagine dry spells. We imagine a dry spell. We haven't had rain for weeks. Then all of a sudden, we have a shower. You can smell it. Can't you? You can smell it. And instantly, there's like a kind of response. And that's the promise here. We have a choice. But if you decide that I'm going to listen, and I'm going to follow, and I'm going to obey, God comes to us with early signs of blessing. He is so good. He is so merciful. It's almost like when you become a Christian first. You know when you become a Christian first? And it's wonderful. There's an excitement about it. And it's like that on every stage of the journey. When we come to him afresh, he comes to us. I remember once I was speaking at a camp down in County Cork, and we had a gang, it was late teens, we had a gang of boys there. They came to camp just to cause mayhem. They did everything they could, you know, they were terrible. But the exciting part about it was this, that one boy, who was mainly the ringleader of this group, one boy became a Christian. Wonderful. And I'll never, ever forget it. He came to me at the end of camp and he said, "This camp has been great," he said. I'm different. And he said to me, "Why can't this camp go on forever?" And I said, "Well, we have to go back now to our homes and our wherever we are, and we have to now live for Jesus." And I said, "It's important to get to church so that people can encourage you and help you, and you can help them indeed." And he said, "Is there a church that would be like this camp?" I said, "Oh yes," I said, "there's quite a few in Cork City that you can go along to." And he said, "Oh great," he said. He said, "What church do you go to?" So I told him. And he said, "Oh, that'll be marvellous," he said. I'll come along to it," he said. "I'll be there." And he said, what time are the services?" I said, "Well, they're on Sunday at 11, and we had an evening service as well, and there's a midweek meeting." And he said, "Are you telling me it's only on Sundays and Wednesdays?" I said, "Yeah. Why is that?" Like, it was wonderful, the enthusiasm. And then one of the helpers, classic it was, one of the helpers then turned around and said to me, "Don't worry, you'll soon get over it." Look, the Lord wants us to have this freshness. He wants us to have this desire. And when we respond to that, wow, he responds to us early. And then the next thing he says in the words of this text, "Sow for yourselves righteousness. Listen to me. And you will reap the fruit of unfailing love, because I will come to you and I will bless you." But then he goes on to say, and you know that area of your life which up to now has been quite fallow and not a lot happening, I want you to look at that. And I want you to do some work. I want you to break up the fallow ground, because I want to use it. I want you to do some weeding. Perhaps get rid of things that are crowding in and taking up too much space and time. And I want you to examine things. I want you to use that ground to achieve something for the kingdom. And the fourth letter is A, achievement. It's wonderful, really, that we all have a gift. Some of the gifts are evident. There's people who keep this building lovely, and that's service for the king. There's people who are good at administration and organizing. That's a gift, a real gift. There are other people who are people. Well, we all should be people, but people who are great one-to-one and chatting and gossiping the gospel as they did in the book of Acts. There are people who are great at that. But the reality is, we all have a gift, every single one of us. And the Lord will say to us, "Listen, we're on the cusp of a wave. We're on the verge of something happening here. And God has brought us into this place for a purpose. And you have a work to do that nobody else can do." That's amazing, isn't it? There's a work for Jesus only you can do. A work for the King. And I want to, he's like as if he's saying to us, "Now, you said to me it's time to act. Now I'm saying to you it's time to act too. Take a fresh look and ask the question, Lord, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to do in this new chapter in the life of the church? And then the last letter is N. And it means new. When we put all this together, God is saying to us, I'm sure, listen, I want to send you showers. Showers of righteousness. You remember the old Sankey's hymn? Showers of blessing. Showers of blessing, we plead. Mercy drops round us are falling. We do not despise the day of small things. We thank God for the mercy drops. We thank God for all that we enjoy that comes down from His good hand. We thank God for each other. We thank you for every single person that we know that is part of this community, this church. Mercy drops round us are falling. But for the showers, we plead. Are we prepared? The choice is ours. Are we prepared to go down that road with our God? Do you know, the acrostic is choice, listen, early signs of blessing, achievement, what does God want us to achieve in our lives, and N. God wants to do a new thing. And the acronym or the acrostic is clean. What God wants us to do is to be clean. To be in a right relationship with each other, but more importantly, in a right relationship with God. The Lord help us as we go forward with great anticipation, I believe, in the light of what He says to us in His Word. Amen.